I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 337. All right, jumping right in. The first one. Hi, ladies. Welcome to the first story I'm actually submitting to you. This will be a quick one because I have sat down to write my long stories without making any progress too many times. I hope to share those one day, but my poor storytelling skills and shitty memory will keep them from being published for now. But this isn't my story exactly, but my dad's. He's had a lot of crazy things happen to him when he leaves the house. Sometimes I think to myself, it's no wonder why he has agoraphobia. He's happy to share his crazy stories anytime, but I get permission before writing in. So here is the lobster story. My dad used to work about 2 hours away with heavy traffic, so sometimes it was more like four. We live on the east coast of the U.S. in Maryland. Seafood is pretty abundant here, but we don't have lobster in abundance as far as I know. We have blue crabs and all kinds of fish. I grew up crabbing off the side of a pier and with a crab fest at every summer holiday. They definitely said feast. I digress. My great-grandfather was a waterman and brought home so many crabs my grandma won't eat them to this day. So we're no strangers to seafood, especially crustaceans. On the final 15 minutes of my dad's drive on a summer day, there crawls a lobster in the middle of the highway. Now, for those unfamiliar, you don't see crabs or any crustaceans just out strolling on the streets here. That simply does not happen. Dad swerved to avoid this mysterious fellow, pulled over to the nearest parking lot, and ran to save the langorious lobster that was moving with all the speed of a mama duck, making sure her babies had crossed the road with her. Just as Dad got to the lobster, splat, it was run over by a car. The mystery of where or how the lobster got there is still pondered in my family to this day. Did it escape a la I almost got away with it style from being someone's dinner that night? Did he spontaneously generate out of the grass? Was he a baby cryptid trying to find his way home? Did an alchemist go very wrong and try to create gold for some reason, also doing so on the side of the highway? Or my favorite theory, did the alien send it down to spy on us but underestimated the power of our almighty vehicles? Let me know your favorite theory or what you think my dad would have done if he obtained the lobster. Thank you, ladies lots. Hopefully more stories to come. Cassie D from MD. That poor fucking lobster died right as he got to it. Like, what the hell? See, I'm not a stopper like that. Like, I would not, like, I'm sorry that the lobster is about to get to be roadkill, but I ain't stopping.
Also, she didn't even see a big beaver that was in the highway. I'm like, was there a beaver? And she's like, a beaver? Wait, that was.
Yeah, that was a beaver that stayed in that construction zone.
For a long time.
For a really long time.
I know. I'm like, oh, God, this is so heartbreaking. And then I'm like, God, I have to swerve to miss it every time.
Okay, back to your lobster. Not Donna's beaver.
I really thought this was going to be like one of those, like, you're my lobster. Like, you know, they find someone and like mate for life or whatever.
Yeah, no, an actual lobster. Yeah. I'm thinking that it fell out of someone's truck.
I'm thinking that it had a whoa, whoa, whoa chef.
Yes.
It was like on the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, we know. What else would you be talking about like that?
Maybe someone didn't know.
Okay, well, that's the chef from The Little Mermaid. She did.
Okay, thank you. It was a good one, though.
It was a very good one.
But that's what I think.
What is this?
But he's like, I'm going to do miss? It.
Or what does he say?
Also, lobsters can't get that fast, okay? Crabs can do faster. You know, they do the crab walk.
What are the lyrics to that song? Like, I can't think of any lyrics other than, what is this? How on earth could I miss? You can do his impression, but you can't sing his song?
Mm-mm.
What is this? How on earth could I miss? That's
our guest. Okay.
Just married those songs real quick. Okay. What's your theory?
I just told you.
Oh, yeah. What was it again? Oh, yeah.
The chef. I mean, or do they have, like, lobster? You know how, like, they have chicken trucks here? Do they have lobster trucks or something? And it, like, fell out. And it was like, almost. I'm almost of freedom. And then, splat. Well, I want to hear everyone else's guess how the lobster came to be. Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, my coworker slash bestie got me hooked on y'all. I listened to a lot of the newer ones and decided I need to start from the beginning. I've got a ways to go, but I love hearing you guys from the start of this awesome podcast. Anyway, this isn't exactly sinister. It is kind of a happy sighting in my dream. I had a friend pass away in 2016. Her funeral was on my birthday. I was really bummed, of course, and that following night, I had the best dream with her. Picture it. We were in an awesome club having the best time. We were drinking and laughing. We used to party together. I had known her since I was 15, so there were a lot of fun times. In the dream, I was with her. We were dressed with our cute little short dresses and sky-high heels, because why did we used to do that to our feet? Anyway, I got really sad and I was like, wait, Tara, you're not here anymore. I got teary-eyed and she was like, bitch, stop. How else am I going to come say goodbye to you? Stop the tears and let's drink our drinks and enjoy our last clubbing day. Makes me a little teary-eyed every time I think of that dream. I haven't seen her since, but I know in my heart she's okay. And that was her way of telling me. I like to ramble, so hopefully that makes sense. Love you, ladies, so much. You make my cleaning go by so fast. I always cackle my ass off at y'all. Creep it real, Stephanie. Well, and at the end, they talked about their bestie coworker and now roomie, Carmen. She also submitted a sinister sighting. So shout out to Carmen for getting Stephanie hooked on us and for y'all keeping sinister sightings alive. You're not in this episode, Carmen, but just keep tuned because we got you.
Keep tuned. Just keep tuned.
Keep tuned in. Whatever it is. Also, Carrie would always try to wear some heels. And by the end of an hour, she's walking side. She's walking like fucking Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, it's really bad. I have just decided that I don't even try anymore. Except this is what pisses me off. Kids these days. They don't know what it's like because they all wear their cute little tennis shoes, wear their cute little dresses to fucking school dances and stuff, and they don't have to suffer like we did.
Right. I know. It's like, oh, this is a cool thing to do. It's like, yeah, but do you know how bad I wanted those heels? Like, I mean, I had to do more of the, like, what's that one shoe? It was black.
Huh? A kitten heel, you mean?
No, but it was that one shoe that was black that was kind of like a wedge. You would know it. It had like a stretch to it.
Just that one black strap.
Top. Like it was a thick, like slide, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what I could do.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, ouch. But like, I also have friends that can literally wear 6-inch heels all day long and be completely fine. And I'm like, what is it like to be one of the universe's favorites? Because that will never and has never been my life.
No, one of my coworkers, she really does wear like 6-inch heels and she has went walking in the warehouse like because she'll walk for a little bit. And I'm like, did you change into tennis shoes? She's like, no, I forgot my tennis shoes today. And just walked in those.
I know.
Like, wait, what?
I know. I did get to wear while I was in school because we had to wear like business casual. There was this one set of heels that I bought like at Dillard's. They were nicer. Like, you really do get what you pay for. And I could wear those for longer, but it was like I was sitting at a desk most of the day, you know? So it wasn't like I was standing all day. Like, it would be like I would walk to the copier, I would walk to the bathroom, and that's pretty much it, you know?
Well, when we were like, when we were growing up, it was more stilettos. That's what was like in. And yeah, like sexy
this was like
stuff.
A much thicker.
Yes. Yeah. Cause like Torrid now, I can wear their heels more. Because it's, like, it can support my weight. You know, I was, like, basically.
About to break this toothpick. Yes. Yeah.
I'm, like, if I walk on the sides of my feet, you know, like, I had to think really hard about that.
As you do. I mean, me, I do.
Ugh. Basically, stilettos were the white outdoor chairs of extra large pizzas. Like, we want to be able to sit in them. We want to be able to wear them. But, like, we scared, too. What if we break them? But I am glad that you got to say goodbye to your bestie. How sad that it was on your birthday. That's such a hard thing. Just how, like, I mean, this isn't the same, but Carrie having, you know, such a happy memory of her wedding, but also losing her dad. Like, You can't celebrate one without thinking of the other.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. Sinister Sightings, Stanley Hotel. Hello, creepsters. You can call me Julie. I heard the butthole puckering all the way from Texas. So I'm writing in, so hopefully you can unclench for a moment. I heard a couple of sinister sightings about the Stanley Hotel and the experiences there, so I wanted to share our terrifying experience also. My mom and I bonded over the love of Stephen King and shared books all throughout our lives. As an adult now with little kids of my own, we decided to take a trip to Colorado right after the COVID craziness. We went to Pikes Peak and rode a train up the mountain. It was super fun, but stressful, as they don't really joke about having a heart condition and the altitude. Our oldest son struggled a lot in Colorado. Also, my husband couldn't come on the trip with me because he had to work. We still had fun, but it was just a harder trip for me and more work with two little kids. I had surprised my mom with one night at the Stanley Hotel, and I thought it would be a great idea. We took the long, winding drive, and it was honestly breathtaking. I think the drive alone was worth the trip to the hotel. When we got there, that's when the trouble started. When we arrived, we were waiting at the entrance, not having a parking spot, when suddenly, bam, a huge tourist company van smashed into the side of my SUV. It didn't help that my mom then decided to scream at the top of her lungs. We're talking earth-shattering scream here. I just had to keep saying, it's okay, for my kid's sake. The man got out of the car and just flatly said, you are in my way. I was like, dude, that doesn't mean you can plow into me. He had nothing much to say. We then had to go into the hotel, and the magic was kind of ruined from that point on, not gonna lie. The hotel was short-staffed from COVID times, and although we did walk around and take it all in, the stress levels that night just put a damper on the end of our trip. We hightailed it out of there the next day and limped our sorry asses back to Texas where we belonged. Thankfully, the damage on my car was mostly just frame stuff and nothing that made it undrivable. You better believe my husband was pissed off because, of course, that would happen when he isn't there. All in all, Colorado was beautiful and worth the visit. We didn't get our spooky, ghostly Stephen King experience we would have wanted, but I guess we did get a Here's Johnny moment after all, just at the expense of the back end of my car. And to make a note that the owner of the company was very apologetic for his driver and promised to pay for my car damages if we didn't go through insurance. I was extremely wary of this arrangement, but he did make good on his promise and ended up paying Mako $8,000 for my new back bumper and paint job. So in the end, no harm, no foul. I still have a couple of stories I intend to send in. Creep It Real, ladies. Love ya, Julie.
Well, me and my mama shared a love for Stephen King as well.
Also, fuck that guy for being like, you're in my way.
Right? Like, you're in my way. Okay. But I love how you said the Here's Johnny part. Yes. And see, this is also why I can't have kids, because I would have been your mom, but also maybe not like screaming, but I go into a tizzy. And I can't calm someone down. You know what I mean? Like, I am the one who people have to calm down. I.e., when Carrie got in that wreck with me, and I was like, I can't open the door. I can't open the door. She was like, it's locked. Because he had hit, like, my side. And I was like, oh my God. Because one, you know, when you're a bigger girl, you don't want to have the jaws of life come get you out. And so that's my biggest thing. And I was like, if he hit the door where I can't get out, I don't think I could fit through that window.
Right. That and really so is a big fear.
I was like, the door's like, I can't. She's like, unlock it. Oh, okay. But like, I immediately went to, they're going to have the jaws of life. We're in the center of pedal. Well, my God. Like,
I'm like, girl, just unlock your door. It's cool. I'm always leery, too, when people are like, oh, let's not go through insurance, blah, blah. I'm like, can I get that in writing? Meanwhile, I'm sure you were on the phone with him, but it's like, damn. But see, the danger of that is if he didn't go through insurance, but then that guy that was driving the car later wanted to file a workers' comp claim, I feel like he'd be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one. Hello, ladies. I recently listened to your episode where you talked about visiting Little Creek Landing for Donna's birthday. I live about a mile from there and watched it grow over the past few years as they've added different animals bit by bit. This isn't exactly a sinister sighting, but I wanted to share a story with y'all I wrote a couple of years ago that features a kangaroo I saw at Little Creek Landing on my way to a wedding near the Gulf Coast. I'm not expecting you to share it on air, but I think you'll both relate on some level and get a little laugh out of it. I wrote this right after the incident happened, so the timing may be off, but just go with it. A few weeks ago, my husband told me his young coworker was getting married and really wanted him to come to the wedding. He did not want to buy a suit, but the young coworker assured him that it was not a dressy wedding, so he relented. I also did not have many dress clothes because, well, I don't need them. But luckily, I recently bought a little black dress, quite cheap, and it looked decent on me, so I agreed to go as well. The wedding was last night. I gave a true effort to spruce up for the event. I rolled the thickest part of my hair with hot rollers the right way by proportioning it out and mixing the large and small rollers in a way to get the most wave. I took the top thinner layer and used a curling iron so the hair closest to my face would fall in wispy coils. On the daily, I used minimal makeup, but last night I went full face. Moisturizer, primer, foundation, blush, and bronzer. I filled in my brows so you could see that I have some, and I used not one, not two, but three shades of eyeshadow and two shades of eyeliner. Not to mention the lip liner and lipstick. I participated. I had it going on. When it came to my clothing, I wore the new sleeveless eyelet little black dress. This is a huge step out for me because I abide by the no public display of upper arms rule, but I wore it anyway because I had it going on. I was going to wear my black Kohl's fake Birkenstock slide sandals, but no, I opted for my blush-colored perforated leather shooty wedges to harken back to the eyelet in my dress. To top it off, I wore my inheritance diamond earrings and my favorite moon and star gold necklace and carried my black velvet clutch with the colorful embroidery and green tassel zipper pull a Chinese student gifted me a few years ago. I was ready. I prepped the car with my if I get sick kit, my if I get cold shawl. Husband added if we get thirsty or need a snack cooler. And we were off for the 1 hour and 29 minute ride to the venue. I snapped a fun pic for Facebook and the comments were effervescent, sparkly, and the like. I would go on to take a more serious selfie of us at the wedding to prove we really did have it going on. The ride down was mostly uneventful, except for the kangaroo we passed, who was sound asleep on his back in the sunlight showing all his business. I was sure he was dead because why would he be out in the broad daylight flat on his back showing the world his business? A quick Google search confirmed that kangaroos do indeed sleep on their back and offered me a slideshow of 87 pictures of specifically male kangaroos sleeping. I declined. Seeing one in person was enough. We reached the barn-style venue in plenty of time to stand around awkwardly with people we did not know until it was time to take a seat. The groom came up and thanked us for coming, and my husband got to shake hands with the groom's dad and a couple of coworkers, so the we saw, we were seen obligation was fully met. The wedding took place outside an ancient oak with the backdrop of a sea and soybean field. I chose a seat on the back row towards the shadiest spot under the oak. A few minutes before the seating music started, there was a commotion happening behind us. Curious, I turned to see one of the grandfathers lying on the paved patio right outside the barn. There was a crowd of people standing around him, so I knew he didn't need my help. I turned away in respect and said a little prayer. A few minutes later, he walked down the aisle, so I knew he was fine. Although it was Mississippi July hot, the slightest spit of rain fell and brought a cool with it to make it all fine. It was really a peaceful and lovely ceremony. After the vows, we made our way to the reception by going through the back door of the barn. I took caution in stepping into the building, remembering Grandpa on the ground. See, there is a bit of a step up. Not even a step, really. It's just that the foundation of the barn was built up a few inches higher than the foundation of the adjoining patio. Once inside, I made a beeline to the drinks and poured myself a cup 3/4 full of water and topped it off with sweet tea. In the food line, I questioned my decision to get my drink first because I had a hard time toggling my drink with my plate and wondering how I was going to make that work. Spilling a barbecue dinner on my LBD was not in my plans. With my plate, drink, napkin, and golden fork in hand, I gave a quick scan of the tastefully decorated dining room and estimated that there were not enough seats for the number of people in the room, and my social anxieties and dread of small talk were too strong to sit at a cramped table with someone I didn't know. And then there's COVID. So with my hands full, I turned to my husband and said we should go outside. He asked if there were tables out there, and I said, yes, there were tables that we could stand at, and I had one in my line of sight. Then, remember Grandpa on the pavement? Remember that step, not a step? Remember those Roadrunner cartoons where the Roadrunner would run off a cliff while Wile E. Coyote would follow, and then he would sort of like hang in the air for a few seconds before he would drop like a rock? Yep, one second I'm carrying a barbecue dinner and a glass of watered-down sweet tea, eyeing an outside table that would save me from COVID and small talk. And the next second, I was Wiley Grandpa saying a cuss word and pulling my little black dress down so no one would see the kangaroo lying on his back in the broad daylight. Thankfully, my husband was right behind me and helped me up, but not before a crowd gathered to ask the obligatory, "Are you all right?" and hand me a napkin with lipstick on it to dry my wet, wispy coils and scrape my barbecue dinner off the pavement and hand it back to me. I said I was fine, and I smiled with my eyes closed to make it not a lie. I wasn't fine. I turned to my husband and said, "You know we are leaving right this minute, don't you?" And we turned and walked away like we were guilty of setting fire to the place and forsook our duties to congratulate the bride and groom and compliment her dress and choice of color scheme. At the car, I confessed to my bruised and skinned knee and ankle bone and sulked for quite a while. I finally whined that I was hungry, so he offered to stop at Cracker Barrel. My favorite aunt, Mary, used to call Cracker Barrel the Cabbage Patch, so in her honor, I will as well from this point out. I really didn't want to go to the Cabbage Patch, but I had a hurt knee and ankle bone, and my coils that were once wispy were now crunchy from that fourth of a sweet tea, and I was hungry. I really wanted to drive an hour to my favorite restaurant and drink a refreshing drink with gin in it and eat hot, fresh truffle potato chips topped with Parmesan cheese and green onions. But I didn't want to drive that far with my angry knee, and I didn't want to limp into a white tablecloth establishment with crunchy hair, even if I did have on 3 shades of eyeshadow and a little black dress that miraculously did not get a speck of barbecue dinner on it. We did go to the Cabbage Patch, and we ate a delightful fried chicken dinner, and I didn't get sick, not even a little. Husband also treated me to a side trip to Marshall's where I limped around and partook of some retail therapy that did not ease the pain of my injuries, but did help me forget about the indignity of it all. Until now. Moral of the story, don't let your social anxieties and fear of small talk and COVID rule your life, or you'll end up exposed on the pavement like a sleeping kangaroo in the sunlight. Oh, and for all that's holy, watch your step. I hope this makes you smile a little. Donna, I look for you every time I go to Home Goods, and Carrie, I've seen you a few times at your job, but you were not my therapist. If I ever have to go back, I'll try to battle my social anxieties enough to say hello. Have a great day, y'all. Elizabeth S. from Summerall, Mississippi.
You mean you've come to my job and you didn't say nothing? I mean, I get it. I probably wouldn't either.
She probably said, "Damn, Carrie looks mad."
She's probably like, "Damn, that bitch don't ever get dressed for work, does she?" That's the last time she washed her hair.
She's probably going to say, "Donna was right. It does look like Martha Washington's hair."
Oh, God. Was that nice?
Oh, God.
Probably not.
Girl, and if you ever see me in Home Goods, one, tell me you don't need that. Also,
for real.
Also, please come talk to me and don't mind me sweating because that's my cardio.
That's me at my work, too. Don't mind me sweating. I'm probably complaining that I'm hot while everybody else is like, "Is it cold in here?" And I'm like, I'm actively sweating.
Oh my God, but hilarious. Okay, I know that wasn't a sinister sighting, but when you talked about the kangaroo, I did not know they slept on their backs, because I'll tell you, when we went to Little Creek Landing, there was this kangaroo that he was showing his muscle, and he was on his side, like he was a Chuck Norris of kangaroos.
He looked like he would be picture like a Zootopia type movie, and the kangaroos are the bad guys, or like the enforcers. And this guy was the mainest, mostest, wantest.
Yeah, he was like the Terminator.
He was ripped. Like, insert the TikTok sound. I'm getting ripped tonight. R.I.P.
Okay, so you go to Zootopia, which makes sense. But no, I go to Doug. And I'm like, he would be the guy that was, like, mean to Doug in the leather jacket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who he'd be, though. Like, he was, like, a bully. Like, he...
Yeah, but, like, animals, though. Yeah. That's why I went to Zootopia.
I know. That, and that's why I said it makes sense. But that's... In my head, I'm like, he's a dude from... Freaking, what was Doug. His name? Skeeter?
No, Skeeter was his friend.
Oh, yeah, Skeeter was the blue
I don't remember.
Guy.
Yeah, I don't remember his guy's name, but Skeeter was his friend.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But you saying that you look like a kangaroo. Also, the step. That is me and Carrie, definitely, but definitely Carrie.
I saw this TikTok just the other day, and it was this guy at like a football game or something, and he was just filming this one step, and everybody that once they got to that step, they tripped. Like, that step had to have been, like, a centimeter thicker than every other mm-hmm. one because everybody tripped right there. And I was like, dang, something's wrong with that step. So that your story reminded me of that. And then your story also reminded me of, what is it with barbecue? Remember whenever I fell in murky waters here and Colby had to, like, catch me and pick me up because I was wearing those slippery-ass shoes?
Yes.
We could go on and on and on about my falling stories, but... Murky waters did me in, and every time we go, he's like, be careful, be careful, be careful. You're not wearing those dumbass shoes, are you? Be careful.
Also, you really are Carrie, because Carrie would have been like, oh God, let's just go outside. I don't want to sit with anyone.
100%. And then I was also going to say, did you have on heels?
Probably, but my lazy bones, I'm like, I'll sit with whoever. I don't fucking care. I want to sit inside in the air.
No, I would have probably gone outside too so that I wouldn't have to sit and talk to people.
But also, what is it with weddings nowadays that doesn't have enough
chairs? I don't know. It's like the new thing.
But remember my cousin when he got married? We were like, oh, okay, we're going to go eat because they spared no expense. But like it was in like a plantation house or whatever. And so every room was like a different room. It wasn't like just one big building.
Right.
And they really didn't have a lot of chairs. Like, I sat in a probably fucking old-ass chair that probably left butt sweat in.
Yeah, we wouldn't sit in now because we wouldn't trust it at this size.
No. And now I know, like, how expensive shit is. I'm like, no, no, no.
I know, girl. I'm looking for a damn entertainment center right now, and that shit's so expensive.
It is. But, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me that there's not enough seats for people.
Yeah.
Like, how do you want... I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much for writing that in.
And next time you see me, you say hi.
Yes, please, please, please.
I mean, I will be awkward as fuck, but I will also try to not be.
And if you haven't been, I know you live right there, but, like, please go, because that People Mover ride was so great. And one of my coworkers went with a friend of his. And they were the only ones there during the day because it was, like, during the week.
Yeah.
And they got to do, like, a side-by-side ride instead of, the big People Mover
thing. Oh, that's cool.
So it was, like, more intimate. So, like, I don't know. I'm just saying do it because it's worth it.
Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, it's me, P. It's been several years. The last time you read stories of mine was Sinister Sightings 19. I only shared a couple of stories back then, but said I had a ton. Now I have even more, so buckle the fuck up. I'll do the same thing as the past, where I'll use initials for names in the stories. I don't even know where to start, and the only story submission included my earliest experiences as a childhood, and I think I intentionally did that to make it easier for myself to share more in lifetime order. Feel free to spread these out if you want, or as you see fit. Some of my own stories may even be out of timeline order, since I'm going to try to submit more and more as I continue to remember experiences. So story one. So some background. This isn't necessarily paranormal, but my dad has experiences with having premonitions. I'm talking Final Destination type shit and a strengthened intuition. When he was younger, he had a premonition of getting into a car accident with his friends. And guess what? It happened. He's told me that you can't avoid it, but use it to help you prepare for what happens. One day, he was with his family and he saw one of his aunts. I think he mentioned that she was or claimed to be psychic. But he was shocked when she asked him, you see stuff, don't you? Like visions? And he's thinking, how the hell does she know? He says he's also the only child in the family who she gave a Bible to. He's told me other stories involving stuff that is just unexplainable and how our family seems to be protected. Fast forward, I'm the only other person in the family who's gotten premonitions and a strong intuition, and he thinks I've gotten that specialty from him. My first premonition is one to remember. We went on a cruise as a family, and one of the stops was in Belize. We got onto a bus and had a two-hour drive to the temples where we were visiting. I sat next to my mom on the bus. She had the window seat, and I was stuck in the aisle seat. It was a very bumpy ride, as it was mostly on dirt road, so I couldn't fall asleep. Well, I was just sitting there, jiggling around from the bumps, super tired and just resting my eyes, but still fully aware of everything around me, I had what I could only describe as a flash of a vision. In the vision, I was inside what looked like a dusty stone structure, like a temple, with a little amount of light to see. My mom and I were walking downstairs, and she had rolled her ankle or tripped over something, causing her to trip down just a couple of steps before she stopped to relax her foot for a bit. On the bus, I opened my eyes and told her to watch her step when we get there. She didn't know why I was saying this and kind of brushed it off, but I simply told her that it's because I saw something. Fast forward, the bus brings us to our destination. At some point, my dad and brother split up from my mom and I. We were with the touring group going in a temple and standing at the top outside looking out at the field and the other structures around us. When our group was going back down the stairs to come out of the temple, it happens. My mom either tripped over air or twisted her ankle. I'm not sure. All I know is I saw exactly what happened in my premonition, and I told her, I told you to be careful. 12-year-old me was freaked out. Nothing like that had ever happened to me before. When we left the temple and caught back up with my dad and my brothers, mom told my dad, your daughter had her first premonition, and then he told me about his premonitions in life. I'm convinced there's something significant, special, spiritual connection between him and I on a soul level. I as well have my own stories where something should have happened to me but didn't because it felt like a force was there protecting me or because my intuition was loud in my head warning me about something. There are multiple accidents I avoided or missed by less than an inch. One that stands out to me is when I had gotten the green left turn arrow. I was turning and a truck came hauling forward to run a red light and went through the intersection. Yet somehow I felt like a literal force pushing between my car and the truck. I've only ever been able to describe it as some sort of force field all around me and my car that made that truck barely bounce off of it. But again, I have multiple close calls that I can't explain, but I heavily believe that I'm always being protected. My dad's mother was very religious, and years back I found out that I had a 10th great-grandma who was hung in Massachusetts for being a witch and claimed to be hearing her dead baby's screams and cries, and people thought she was crazy. I hope to be able to reach out to her one day. Story 2. Before I lead into any more of my own stories, I wanted to share some family stories. When my dad was younger, he used to work at an airport. There was a trip he took through the desert, I think from Arizona to California. He used to have to put the mindset of just powering through the trip and driving the rest of the way without making any stops, back when he was younger and had enough energy to just get it done. So on his way back home, he was speeding down the highway and it was completely dark out. No other cars were on the road with him, no street lights, and I think it had to be in the middle of the night. Eventually, he sees what appears to be a glowing, translucent woman walking along the side of the road in a white dress. She walks into the middle of the street and he thought, what the fuck is she doing? He tried slamming his brakes but didn't stop in time. But he says this woman went through the car. When he started driving off again, he looked at his rearview mirror to see that she was already turned around looking right at him, standing in the middle of the road. He was so confused about what he saw, and when he went to work the next day, his coworker freaked out saying, you saw La Llorona. He was like, who the hell is that? Mind you, his coworker was a Hispanic woman, and I'm well aware that they grew up hearing the stories and the origination of La Llorona. To this day, my dad will say, I don't believe in ghosts, but I know I saw La Llorona that night. This man is very scientific and technical and doesn't believe in the paranormal, but that specific story, he will admit he saw a ghost. One of my cousins, B, has lived in multiple different states over the course of his life. But no matter where they move, something always follows him. For example, they had a house in Seattle where there was a lot of activity. They once had some ghost investigators come to that house, and the verdict was there were multiple spirits. If I remember correctly, there were two children, possibly even twins, and some older man that would hang out in the dining room and like to watch over B's daughter, who we'll call S. I don't remember if there were any more spirits than that, but that's what stood out to me. One time, my aunt R went to stay with them, and she says there was what felt like kicking against the bed springs from underneath the bed when she was sleeping. She eventually got annoyed and shouted, "Boys, stop," and it stopped. My mom also doesn't really believe in ghosts or the paranormal, but she says that when she stayed there, she immediately had an uneasy feeling upon stepping in that house. She always felt like she was being watched and even felt uncomfortable changing clothes in the bedroom she stayed in. She even said at one point that she had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and felt like she wanted to wake up my cousin so he could walk her to the bathroom. This same cousin has two other brothers. They all have paranormal experiences, as well as my aunt and grandma. I'm telling you, this shit runs in our family or something. So starting with my grandma, who passed in 2017, she used to live in Michigan and had a convenience store and mansion when my mom and her siblings were all growing up. My grandma had a story where she woke up at some point throughout the night and saw what she described as a kid or a short figure wearing a pig mask with glowing yellow eyes just standing beside her, staring at her bed. She reached out to touch it and it faded away, like if you motioned your hand through smoke or fog. It just disappeared. Now, my aunt, she had three sons, and when they were young, they say that little boy named Gigi would appear at night wanting to play. I don't know too much about the Gigi stories, but they would genuinely hang out with him. I don't know when he stopped appearing, but when my cousin B had his daughter S with his current wife, there was a time he came home and greeted his daughter, asking her about her day, and she responded with something along the lines of, "We were playing." He said, "Who?" And she said, "Gigi. He says he misses you." This daughter, S, is also able to see spirits. She see my aura and told me what colors she saw, and when she was younger, she was able to say things that would happen. For example, they were on the road taking a trip, and she had to be probably four. She said something about there being a fire. Everyone in the car was confused until later on during the drive, they passed a fire. I think it was the Seattle house, but they told me there would be times they heard movement on the stairs, like footsteps and running around. Their daughter's room was at one end of the hallway while their bedroom was on the other. They would hear running all the way down the hallway and it would stop right outside their door. They checked on their daughter's room to see if S was awake playing, but she was in that deep state of sleep where she was even sweating in bed as if she had been passed out for hours already. So they knew it wasn't her. There was also a time they had just celebrated her birthday with a party. She had one of those foil balloons, the yellow one with the nice big smiley face on it. Well, their daughter was in bed asleep and they were downstairs watching TV. All of a sudden, they noticed the smiling balloon slowly wandering into the living room where they are. They spoke out loud about how weird it would be if it moved back and came around the other way. For better visualization, imagine you're sitting on the couch and the TV is in front of you against a section of the wall and there are entryways on each side of where the TV is. Behind that section of wall is a staircase that goes upstairs, so both entryways can lead to the staircase. So this balloon started moving backwards, lifted up to float over the staircase, then back down and came through the other arc in the wall. They then noticed it moved backwards again and they decided to get up and follow it. It slowly went up the staircase at a steady incline, remaining the same height and climbing the stairs. B got creeped out and finally ran up the stairs and grabbed the balloon, popped it, and threw it away. They seriously have all kinds of stories. B had a daughter with an ex-girlfriend before his current two kids with his wife, so he has a total of three. The oldest daughter, L, and S both wanted to do a little seance type of shenanigans and play with tarot cards. Well, this led to what appeared to be a shadow figure stuck in the window. And I mean actually stuck. Not a shadow on the wall, no movement, just a shadow genuinely stuck in the window. I can't even think about how else to describe it. Almost like it was trapped there. My cousin's youngest kid had also not met my grandma. Either he was less than 1 year old before she passed, or he was born after she passed. I can't remember exactly what year he was born, but regardless, he didn't know my grandma. 1 year for Thanksgiving, he was saying he saw grandma. My cousin's wife was confused because no one else was there, and she was just prepping dinner at home. She asked him what she looks like, and he found a picture of her sitting in a frame that he didn't previously know was there. He pointed to her picture and said that was her. Grandma had visited them for Thanksgiving. They have a summer house in Michigan, but when they originally went to tour the house, one of them went inside. I don't necessarily remember why they stayed split up with only one going inside, but they eventually switched. So one of them goes inside and gets a heavy feeling of energy. When they get to the master bedroom, there was an indescribable feeling on the other side of that bedroom door of violence. It was described as if someone was pissed off and standing in the bedroom door behind the closed door holding a shotgun ready to aim. Whoever went in first and felt this energy went back outside and told the other to go in and see what they feel. They both had the same description of what that heavy energy felt like. I don't know if they looked further into the history of the home, but they bought it and love it. My cousin's wife even said that there was a time where her phone kept randomly turning on the nightstand. There weren't notifications coming in or anything. They would just keep randomly turning on, and she thinks the spirits have never seen smartphones and wanted to play with a touchscreen. And that's all I can currently think of from my family's stories before I dive into my own as well as my boyfriend's. And as I send this, I'll be typing out more so you'll hear from me again, promise this time. So many things. Why did kids who knew that they had powers want to do a Ouija board?
Right.
And trap a damn thing? No. And then you're going to pop a balloon and just piss off that spirit? Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
That kid was playing. And Gigi came back? Uh-uh. And then don't let those little ghost boys fuck with your sleep. Boys, you stop. Kicking the damn bed springs. Uh-uh.
But how'd she know it was boys? I mean, well, one, she probably could just like feel their energy and, you know, see stuff that I don't know. But I love that. It's like, hey, stop.
Like giving that teacher energy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to where you wrote in when we were in, like, just the first double digits?
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit.
Now we're in triple digits and still begging for stories.
Yeah, imagine that. But thank you so much for all of your stories.
And listening that long, my God.
For real. Okay, the last one. Haunted Elementary School. Hey, Donna and Carrie, this is my third time writing in. Last I wrote in, you had 2 weeks left of stories. Glad to know you are still going with these sinister sightings. They're my favorite because of my short attention span. I've been listening since 2019/2020. Thank you for being amazing people and always giving me something to listen to. I used to work at an elementary school somewhere in Silicon Valley. There was always a story of the school being haunted, but we always thought of it as kids being kids. The story goes that the bathroom outside had someone pass away in there, and that person haunted the school. Working there, I was in the cafeteria one day running a section of the after-school program. I was walking around, passing around materials, and thought a kid had walked up to me and touched my back to ask me a question. I turned around quickly to some of the kids surprised. They asked me what had just happened. I told them that I swear a kid walked up and touched me to ask me a question. They then said it must be the school ghost. It's been many years later, and I can still feel and remember that touch from the ghost. I always wonder what the question was. Well, not too long after that, we were sitting in the office that was connected to the cafeteria. I want to say it was the same day, but I honestly can't remember. We were sitting there, and there was one of those big fluorescent lights hanging in the office. It all of a sudden started swinging and flew across the room. We all looked at each other and said that work was officially over for the day and walked each other out. The light was fixed, but the office never felt the same. I have many stories. Hopefully this helped some more. I'll write in again in another month to help keep the stories going. Thank you again for all you ladies do for the community. As always, creep it real and do get scared just a little bit. And watch out for little kid ghosts with questions to ask and lights to throw. I'll keep this anonymous in case kids or old coworkers are listening.
I still don't know if I believe that kid ghosts are actually kids.
I know one thing. That ghost is smart to stay by the cafeteria because they said, ooh, they want their cheesy chicken and rice. They want their stromboli. They want the best PBJ on the planet.
I swear to God, I was just about to say that PBJ that, like, literally does not get any better.
Oh, my God.
You know, my coworker went to school in Louisiana, and their milk for their lunches came in bags.
What?
It was like bag milk. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. But you know what? I hated the milk cartons that we had, because if you didn't do it just right, you were fucked. And it would get, like, soggy.
That's probably why they did the bag milk.
They probably did.
Freaking teachers didn't have to help these dumbass kids not have soggy milk.
AKA me.
Uh-huh. That's why I said dumbass kids.
But, man, I did love that chocolate milk.
I know. I never understood who at school would ever get white milk when you had chocolate milk.
So, like, many people.
I'm like, what? Why did you get that? That's so weird.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Like, I truly didn't understand that.
No, and I judge people who did that. I'm like, you could have chocolate milk? Are you kidding me?
Or get no milk? I'm like, bitch, get your chocolate milk and give it to me.
No. But why in the world would I ever want to eat chocolate milk with, like, spaghetti? Never. But at school, it worked. But never at the house would I be like, ooh, we got spaghetti. Give me some of that chocolate milk, girl.
Also, who eats their chocolate milk?
You know what I mean.
Just kidding. Well, thank y'all so much for sending these stories. And thank y'all for listening as long as some of y'all have been listening. My God. We really do appreciate it. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.